Eu agora passo a palavra para o ministro Emmanuel Ujirá Shibuja, presidente do Tribunal da África do Leste. Com a palavra, Vossa Excelência.
Thank you very much, Senator Viena, for giving me this opportunity to address this Congress. I would want to point out that I want to commend the Senate for the work that it has done in furthering the protection of the environment. But also let me take this opportunity to personally commend you, Senator Viena, for being among the very few people who can pronounce my first name. And you've done it very perfectly, so thank you so much. I would want to draw this house to the attention that if I may give you a global overview of the region that I come from in terms of what is happening, there are so many research in the area of environment that have shown that in less than 5 decades, this will be the time that it will take for certain coastal floods to wipe certain cities, especially Temeke and Kinondoni in Dar es Salaam, because my court is established in Tanzania. I have to talk about this. We've also had challenges of mega projects being developed at this particular time in moment. And as a result, my court has been approached by the civil society to challenge some of the decisions by the governments. I must say that the first case that we had to deal with was an eye-opener for the court. And I do believe that if we had this institute that is going to be launched tomorrow and the days to come, I believe our work would have been a bit much more easier. I look forward to having this institution in place because it will play a major role. The judiciary cannot be left behind in the struggle for the protection and conservation of the environment. I do believe, as my colleagues have said, that the Global Judicial Institute for the Environment will play a major role in sharing good practices and jurisprudence in as far as the environment is concerned. I therefore wish to beseech the Senate and any other stakeholder present today to support this endeavor of the establishment of this noble institute. I do believe that long gone are the days when judges knew everything were wise people who wouldn't learn anything. I believe we have a lot to learn from each other when it comes to this new area of the environment. And I do believe that this institute will play a major role in helping judges adapt to the new principles of the protection of the environment. So I don't want to take much of your time, because my colleagues have said a lot of good words about why the institute is important, but only to once again commend the Senate for the good job that it does, and also to wish you all the best in your future endeavors. Thank you so much.
Temporariamente, por não mais que 5, 10 minutos, eu vou passar a presidência para o senador Donizete e vou estar aqui na hora que a ministra for fazer uso da palavra. Mas agora eu convidaria o embarcador Michael Wilson. O desembargador Michael Wilson, do Tribunal de Justiça do Havaí, para poder fazer sua intervenção. Agradeço a presença de Vossa Excelência aqui.
Senator Viana, and I also would like to specifically address as well Senator Dosiana, who spoke earlier, and Ambassador Marcondes, who I've had the pleasure to be with, and my esteemed colleagues who it's been a great pleasure to listen to this afternoon. I am from Hawaii, and I say that in part to apologize at the beginning for the enthusiasm that I might express at this moment. My extraordinary colleague, Parvaz Ahsan, spoke about what a remarkable moment this was in his life, and I would like to give you a perspective on why, coming from Hawaii, this is one of the most important moments that I've had the pleasure to be part of. And if I could be here or at the Summer Olympics coming to Rio, there's no question that this is where I would like to be. Aloha, the word that I use to say hello, is a word from our small state of Hawaii. And I'd like to talk, if I may, about the story between Hawaii and Brazil that I think is so important for my state of 1.2 million as I address a country that has over 200 million people. Because you have provided leadership to our state in a way that I think can show the value of the Global Judicial Institute for the Environment. And that leadership is something that we carry with us in Hawaii when we consider that we are the endangered species capital of the United States. We consider that we are the most remote landmass on Earth, with the most powerful cleansing agents on Earth working on it all the time, the sun and the cleanest ocean and the cleanest air. But with that said, we have great challenges, and challenges that are common to a community that is an island community. Climate change means that our community will change significantly in the future. Our watersheds are deteriorating because of lack of rainfall that's occurring through climate change. And in addition to that, we have had challenges that have to do with the rule of law, which brings me to Brazil. Brazil has been a leader for us in the rule of science. And Brazil has carried the world when it comes to the rule of science, has given us the concept of biodiversity, and now has provided the leadership which our Director General spoke about so eloquently, the leadership on climate change, and a leadership towards a future that is so extraordinary in terms of subject matter and science, the rule of science. But we have moved into a different era globally in which science is inadequate. Science is not going to work. As my great colleague, Mr. Kral Huber, spoke, we now need the rule of law. And that brings me to the second leadership that has been provided by Brazil for the world, and especially for Hawaii, because we have an environmental court. We are maybe the only state with a real environmental court, because our environmental court handles civil, criminal matters, everything that involves land, air, and water. And it arose because we did not have the kind of responsive legislature that's represented here. We didn't have the kind of leadership that's represented by a vice president of a Senate who's lived in the Amazon and who has been an engineer, or a wonderful ambassador like Marcondes, who took the time and was kind enough to meet with our delegation, including my delegation from the little state of Hawaii. But the leadership that's here, represented by who, as you know, is a global titan of a legal international jurisprudence, Justice Benjamin, who has broken new ground in a way in bringing together this idea of making rule of science into the rule of law in a way that's embraced by a community, so much so that at an institutional level, you have the legislative branch meeting with the judicial branch and a collection of judges who yearn for the time when there is a match between rule of science and the rule of law that leads us to the point where the idea of poverty, the idea of protecting the is not just based on rule of science, as it can't be, but it has to be based on a deliberative process with men and women who are trained to be patient and trained to pay attention to even the disadvantaged in trying to address the issues that Brazil has been so powerful in addressing, that is, the need to provide agriculture, but at the same time, the need to provide for the health of the planet long term. So in Hawaii, we had the direct participation of Brazil because Justice Benjamin came to Hawaii. And before that, he trained our environmental court judges. And before that, he provided inspiration for our community in letting us understand that even with the challenges that Hawaii faces, even without the kind of legislative expertise and the legislative commitment that Brazil enjoys, we can have hope and we can benefit from an institution like our environmental court. And now it has started. It's been operating for over a year. And the judges, every single one of our environmental judges thinks about Brazil. Every single one of our environmental judges thinks about, and I don't mean to make it overly personal, but certainly the leadership of Justice Benjamin, because he's met with them, he's spoken to them, and has provided an example. So I'll conclude with the Global Judicial Institute for the Environment. Now, it may well be that the Global Judicial Institute for the Environment has as its heart Brazil, has as its heart Brazil. The idea that we are here with the enormous, gracious gratitude that we have being able to address you, this powerful institution that's led the world when it comes to the environment, is an example of what can happen with the Global Judicial Environmental Institute. We look forward to getting your leadership, and I would like to thank you again on behalf of Hawaii for making such a difference. We're a treasure. You provide the health, you provide in many ways the sophisticated leadership for a world community, but we provide hope. We're, in many ways, the ideal environment for the human, the collective human consciousness. But we can't, we have learned, really be able to continue to be the treasure for you and the rest of the world unless we can participate in and get your leadership, and the Global Judicial Institute for the Environment will certainly provide that. So I thank you very much, and I say aloha again. That recognizes the breath of life in everybody, and in Brazil I see that there's an enormous amount of life in the people that I've met. Thank you very much.
Nós temos a satisfação de convidar agora a senhora Irun Assan, advogada do Banco de Desenvolvimento da Ásia, para fazer uso da sua palavra e trazer para nós melhores conhecimentos sobre, inclusive, a instituição financeira.
Mr. Chair, Madam Isabella Teixeira, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, a very, very warm good morning / good afternoon. We're almost at the 12 noon juncture. I'm very, very delighted, actually, to note that Brazil's environmental cause is led by a dynamic lady, as you, madam, sitting on this rostrum. Thank you very much on behalf of Asian Development Bank for giving us this opportunity to partner with Brazilian Senate and the judiciary in furthering this environmental cause. Since I come from Asia, I will speak on behalf of the Asia and give you an Asian perspective. Recently, the global community has moved away from 8 Millennium Development Goals to 17 Sustainable Development Goals with 60 indicators, with a very great emphasis on rule of law and equal access to justice. So Sustainable Development Goals and the global community has very well admitted that role of judiciary is crucial for any kind of development, sustainable or not. As the Director General of IUCN mentioned in the morning, that these are not the regular times. Normally, we think that executive and the legislature is enough to deal with any situation in the global scenario or national perspective. But this is not the regular time. This is the time of crisis. This is the time where the entire world is facing with climate crisis. And you all know what's happening in the world. Let me just give you very briefly few statistics from Asia alone to understand the magnitude and the gravity of this crisis. Between 1990 and 2008, over 750 million people in South Asia alone were affected by at least one natural disaster, resulting in almost 230,000 deaths. The livelihoods of more than 200 million people in Bhutan, Bangladesh, Maldives, Nepal, India, and Sri Lanka are threatened by the rapid loss of snow cover and rising sea levels. Total annual GHG emissions from solid waste for South Asia were estimated to reach 606 million by 2030. Climate change could slash up to 24% of the South Asian economy by year 2100. So this is the crisis that we are living. So do we need judges and judiciaries to act proactively right now? Of course, yes, because it is the time of combined inclusive action. Not one wing of the government or the state is enough. Everyone has to join hands and work together. Why are judges important for the rule of environment or to further rule of law and in environmental sphere? Because directly they pronounce judgments, they give decisions, they issue rules, they give directions to the lower courts, they establish green benches. But indirectly also, they're leading the entire legal system towards a credible rule of law system to promote environmental sustainability. So what is happening? Judges are influencing the entire legal system, how legal and regulatory frameworks are interpreted and enforced, which in turn affects private sector investments in related sectors. Hence comes the sustainable development part. So judges are in the forefront. Now, in the past, public used to see judiciary as a last resort. But through their own proactive work and championing this cause of environment, judges have come in the front lines. They have left behind the traditional method of adversarial litigation process and innovated the new inquisitorial process by involving all stakeholders, as Dr. Parvez Hassan also mentioned in the morning, by establishing commissions involving all experts and specialists to sit in one room and to deliberate upon finding solutions. Therefore, judiciary has, through its innovation and through its expertise, have completely changed the system of environmental decision making and environmental justice. And I think in the end, I must say that this is exactly the time when we need institutes like Global Judicial Institute for the Environment. And I'm in Asian Development Bank is delighted to see finally this institution to be born here in Brazil. I once again thank the state of Brazil, all of you, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, for giving us this opportunity to address you today. Thank you very much.
Então vamos seguir para a temática seguinte, que é a sinergia entre convenções internacionais. O nosso orador convidado é o Sr. Brandon Chambers, secretário executivo da Convenção das Espécies Migratórias, para fazer sua exposição para nós aqui nesse importante evento que discute o mundo. Por favor.